If you have your Bibles this morning, we're reading from the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2. We're going to look at two verses, verses 15 and 16, but this is actually one sentence. One sentence. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. Galatians chapter 2. And this morning we'll read verses 15 and 16. As we continue our study in Paul's epistle, hear the words of the Lord. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your word, and Lord, we ask that this morning, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would apply this to us. Help us to understand. Help us to foster a deeper appreciation for the grace that you show to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. The grace that you show to us through the gospel. Lord, may your gospel be crystal clear, both in our minds and in our hearts. And we pray this in Christ's name and to his glory. Amen. We've been studying through the book of Galatians, and if you've been with us, you'll remember that there is a crisis in the church over the gospel. The Galatian churches, the churches that Paul founded, that Paul preached the gospel to very clearly, and that the Galatian churches embraced, made a very, what appeared to be, credible profession of faith in Christ. And then within just 1 to 2 years or so, they were so quickly turning to a different gospel, and Paul is floored by that, and he's writing to address that, his concern over how quickly these churches turned from the gospel and were fooled by a different gospel, which Paul says is no gospel at all. And it even influenced, we saw last week, the Apostle Peter, who, though he knew better, he acted hypocritically out of fear of men, and acted in a way that was not in step with the truth of the gospel. And Paul called him out on that. And all this now leads, both the crisis in the Galatian churches and the hypocritical action of Peter, which also affected other Jews in the church at Antioch, and even Barnabas himself, all of those things together now leads to what is one of the culminating verses in the book of Galatians. A crystal clear statement regarding the nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he presents it in a way that is so crystal clear, it's almost impossible to imagine anybody possibly missing this. That's how straightforward verses 15 and 16 are. These two verses, they're one sentence in the Greek, and I believe one sentence in the ESV translation. Yes, one sentence. A one-sentence nutshell summary of the essence of the gospel. This is the gospel in a nutshell. And this sentence also answers the question of how unworthy sinners, such as ourselves, are to be made right before God. So this really does get to the heart of the matter. We've said several times the question that Galatians speaks to is, what is the gospel? Well, here Paul is nailing it down in about as straightforward and succinct a statement as you could possibly find in the scriptures, verses 15 and 16. And he uses a very important word here. This is a word that occurs for the first time in Galatians, and it's the word justified. Justified. That word occurs three times in a verb form in verse 16, three times. And he is unfolding here the doctrine of justification. That is at the heart of the gospel, the doctrine of justification. What does it mean to be justified? There's a famous quote by Martin Luther. He wrote about the doctrine of justification, quote, "This is the truth of the gospel. It is also the principal article of all Christian doctrine. We should know this article well, teach it unto others, and beat it into their heads continually. Okay? And I think Luther may have had these two verses in mind when he wrote that, because that's exactly what Paul is doing here. He is beating the doctrine of justification into the heads of the Galatian churches repeatedly, and to us too this morning. Justification is a legal term that comes right out of the courts of law. And justification is the opposite of being guilty. So that's very familiar to us. That metaphor for the relationship between sinners and God translates beautifully here 2,000 years later, because we know what it means to be in a court of law, we know what it means to be pronounced guilty, and we know what it means to be pronounced just or not guilty or innocent. That is what justification is. It is the pronouncement by God in an unmerited act of mercy, of his favor, making a sinner right with himself. And it's not just God calling a mistrial, and it's not just God acquitting us, and it's not just God pardoning us. It's God saying, this one is righteous, this one is just, this one is not guilty, and I accept this one in my sight with all the benefits thereunto. So it comes to us right out of the court of law, and it's applied in a spiritual sense to what happens when a sinner is made right before God. And of course, this is based on that great fundamental principle that we find all the way through the scriptures, going back to the very first chapter of Genesis, that there is a great human predicament that we are all born into. You are born into a great human predicament. And that predicament is that you are not right with God. God has a standard. God is holy. God is perfect. God is righteous. And we are not. The scriptures will tell you that over and over and over again. But I would suggest to you this morning, even if you've never read the scriptures, even if no one has ever confronted you with that as a biblical truth, I would suggest to you this morning that you look at your own conscience. Because I know that every human being is convinced in their heart of hearts and in their soul, in the deepest recesses of their thoughts, that there is something wrong between them and their Creator. You cannot miss that. Your conscience testifies to that. Your experience in life testifies to that. You can't live in this world without being forced to reckon with the truth that there is something wrong. There is a rub between me and my Creator. There is friction. And the Bible refers to that friction as being under his judgment. We're alienated from his fellowship. We're not like him. We're infinitely short of who he is in his character and his being. And we rightly fall under his condemnation. And the question is, how can a condemned sinner be justified? How can a condemned sinner be made right? How can a condemned sinner be made righteous? How can a condemned sinner be made not guilty? And that's exactly what Paul is getting at here. He contrasts the Judaizers' doctrine of justification by works of the law, with the apostolic doctrine of justification, which is by faith. Okay, those are the two alternatives that Paul sets before us here. So let's look at those two. The first is justification by works of the law. He says, we ourselves are Jews by birth. That is Paul and Peter primarily. That's the context here. Paul and Peter, both bona fide, certified, pedigree Jews by birth. They've kept the law since they were 6-8 days old. Okay, the law of Moses has been impressed upon them their entire life. They're not Gentile sinners. Yet, even we, verse 16, know that a person is not justified by works of the law. That is what the Judaizers have been proposing. You cannot be saved unless you perform works. That is, acts done to obedience to God's commands. You cannot be saved unless you first obey all of God's commands. The Judaizers did profess faith in Jesus Christ. No argument there. Believe Jesus. Believe who he said he was. Believe that he saves. Believe that faith is necessary. But in addition to that, they insisted, if you're going to be made just, if you're going to be justified, you have got to follow the law, specifically the law of Moses. And that includes, I believe very clearly, all of the law. That is both moral and ceremonial, if you want to use that distinction. But the idea is that in order to be saved, you must meticulously do everything that the law requires, and you must meticulously avoid everything that the law forbids, and you must do so in order to be justified. You're justified by hard work. You're justified by keeping the Ten Commandments. You're justified by keeping all of the moral law. You're justified, in addition to that, by keeping the ceremonial law, circumcision, Sabbaths, festivals, dietary restrictions, washings, agricultural laws, clothing requirements, all of these things. In addition to that, of course, you've got to fast and you've got to pray and you've got to give alms and you've got to attend services, etc., etc., etc. And when you've done all of these things, first, then you'll be justified. And that is clearly the teaching of the Judaizers in terms of how a man is to be justified. You establish your own righteousness, in other words. You establish your own righteousness. That is fundamental to the Judaizers, but larger than that, let me point out this morning that is fundamental to every religious system in the world. Every religious system you can possibly imagine at its heart is this exact same system. It is a system of you do this, then you will find favor. You do this first, then you will find favor. That is every religious system in the world except biblical Christianity. It's the only one that does not teach that. And it is the religion that comes most naturally to us as human beings. It's the system that comes most naturally to me. It's the system that's most intuitive. It's the system that I think just makes the most sense in our minds. It just feels right. And I think it comes so naturally to us because it's just so darn flattering, right? This is a flattering system of justification because it tells you if you just give something or if you just pay something or if you just sacrifice something or if you just accomplish something or if you just do something and you pull up your own bootstraps, then you will earn your salvation. You get the trophy. You get the medal. You get the gold star. You get the sticker on your helmet. It's so flattering. But unfortunately, it is the biggest lie the world has ever known. Because nobody. Look at the end of verse 16. By works of the law, no one will be justified. And the reason is not because there's anything wrong with the works of the law. The law is great. The reason no one has ever been justified by works of the law is because nobody has ever been able to perfectly keep the works of the law. We cannot do it. It's impossible. It cuts against everything of our nature, in our nature. No man can justify himself before God by works because no man is capable of justifying himself before God by works. And no man ever has, except one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who's ever kept them all perfectly. In fact, if we look at our hearts honestly this morning, and I want to ask you to do that, look at your heart honestly this morning and ask yourself, have I kept all of God's moral standards perfectly all the days of my life? Nobody can say that honestly. Nobody. In fact, you come to the New Testament and Christ says, if you even think hateful thoughts, you're guilty of murder. If you even think lustful thoughts, you're guilty of adultery. If we're going to be honest, and why not? I mean, we're in church, right? Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. If we're honest, we have to admit we have broken every commandment. We cannot keep them. That's why Paul is so restrictive when he says, without any exception, at the end of verse 16, by works of the law, no one, no person, nobody, without exception, will be justified. So that's the alternative that the Judaizers are offering. But Paul says, let me offer you an alternative to that. And that is the alternative of justification, not by works of the law, but justification through faith. In contrast to works of the law, through faith in Jesus, he says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, verse 16, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So rather than seeking to establish our own justification, rather than seeking to earn our own righteousness, Paul says, let me present to you an alternative. And that is, you can't do it by your works, but God offers to do it for you. Paul calls us to put our trust and confidence in Jesus Christ, not put our trust and confidence in our own ability. That contrast is as stark as black and white, night and day. Don't put your trust and confidence in your own self. You will fail every time. Put your trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has done this for you. In fact, that word, by works, we know the person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus, so we also have believed in Christ Jesus. That word in is literally into. Believe into Christ Jesus. That means put it all into Christ Jesus. All of your confidence, all of your trust, look to Him alone for your salvation. Look to Him alone for your justification. Look for Him alone to meet the demands of the law, because you can't do it. And what the law could not do because of our inability, Paul says, God has done for you on your behalf through His Son. And he says, put your trust into Him. Put your confidence into Him. On the cross, Christ exchanged His righteousness for our sinfulness. That's the great exchange. That's what happens at the cross. He provides the ultimate solution for the ultimate human predicament. He says, I will take your sinfulness upon me, and I will put my righteousness upon you, and it is not because of anything that you have, anything that you've done, anything that you've earned. It is simply an act of my grace and my mercy and my love for you. Receive this gift of justification, and receive it by faith. And all your blame is removed, all your guilt is removed, and in the sight of God, He will look at you and see Christ's sinless obedience and Christ's perfect obedience. You don't have to do it, sinner. It's on Christ. And even the faith that you exercise is a gift. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. There's nothing that we can muster up inside ourselves that earns the favor of God. And yet the great message of the gospel is that God bestows it upon him by his grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. So there's two alternatives here. There's two competing bases for justification. You either pursue it by works of the law, or it's through faith in Jesus. And he tells us this three times. Look at it. Look at the passage. Look at this one sentence. He emphasizes it three times. Remember Luther. He's beating it into our heads. It says in verse 16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. That's once. It's very general. We know that any man or woman is not justified by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That is a universal, general application coming to us from apostolic authority. When he says we, that's Paul and Peter, capital A apostles. This has been revealed to us by God. That no person, no man or woman is justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Then secondly, look at verse 16. He says, so we also have believed in Christ Jesus. Now there's a more personal application. We know this as a general theological truth and principle, but the apostle brings it home a little more personally. He says, we have personally believed in Christ Jesus. We have personally experienced this and received the justification through faith in Christ firsthand. So we received the message from Christ. We put our faith and trust into him personally, and we've experienced this personally. And then finally, he says, at the end of verse 16, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. And that is a quote from Scripture confirming this truth by the Old Testament, Psalm 143:2, quoting the Old Testament to prove the point. This is the only one and true gospel. And he ends it with that categorical statement, no one can be justified by works of the law. So regardless of who you are, regardless of your ethnic heritage, regardless of your religious background, regardless of your education, regardless of your pedigree, regardless of your trophies, regardless of your accomplishments, regardless of your resume, your education, your social status, your race, the Bible very clearly says the way of salvation is the same. No one can be justified by works. And everyone must be justified through faith in Christ. That's as forceful as it can be. That's as clear as it can be. That's as nutshell as it can be. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. And it's a kind of good news that is just so shocking to us because it's so counterintuitive and foreign to our way of thinking. Whatever you're pursuing in this life, it's either justification by faith in Christ alone, or it's some form of works justification. And you can name it what you will. You can couch it in the language that you will. You can couch that in Jewish terminology. You can couch that in Christian terminology. You can couch that in Islamic terminology. You can couch that in humanistic, secular, atheistic, agnostic terminology. Whatever you want to call it, at the end of the day, it boils down to two alternatives. It's justification through the pursuit of works, or it's justification through faith in Jesus Christ. And as counterintuitive as that is, and as shocking as that is, that's ultimately the message of Scripture, that it's not up to us at all. But it is a gracious provision by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you can just feel it in the apostle's words, that the angst that these Galatians had gotten off to such a good start. And they believed in the gospel, and they believed in Christ alone. And yet Paul is indicating here, it's not just how you start the Christian life, it's how you continue the Christian life, and it's how you finish the Christian life. So don't for a moment think that this message is for non-believers. I mean, this message is for non-believers, this message is for new believers, this message is for old seasoned veterans. Continue in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Continue in this counterintuitive hope that it's Christ alone who provides our salvation, and it's in Christ alone that one will be justified. Let me just close, flip forward a couple of books to the book of Colossians. Paul addresses the same false gospel in the book of Colossians, and he makes the same point a slightly different way. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It's not just about starting in the gospel, but it's about continuing in the gospel and finishing in the gospel. In chapter 2, verse 6 of Colossians, we'll close with this. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that very clearly we have received Christ Jesus and the message of His gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would move us to respond to that by faith this morning. Wherever we are in our walk with you, Lord, renew our love for the gospel. Renew our clear and simple understanding of the work of Christ on our behalf. May we be rooted in it, built up in him, establish us in the faith, that we may abound in thanksgiving, that we have received Christ Jesus as Lord. And we pray this in his name and to his glory.